We'll all be blessed and edified for being here this morning. The Lord desires for us to rejoice this morning. He desires for us to be glad, and He desires for us to give thanks. And I think if we were to take, and this was touched on in Sunday school, but if our time and energy and mental exertions were used on doing these things, we would have a lot less time for the things that can be discouraging and can start getting us down when we focus on negative things in life. And if we can learn more and more how to rejoice and be glad and give thanks, we're all going to be better off because of it. I know this is Thanksgiving week, and I trust that all of us have very many things to give God thanks for. And I know maybe specifically tonight more of those things will be named out in this evening service, but you know, there's nothing, there are a lot of people that go to bed hungry at night, and I don't think any of us here are going to bed hungry at night. We have shelter, we have a place to sleep, and those are just the basic things of life. And all of us have, we have been well blessed. And we have those things to give God thanks for. You know, there's something family. I'm, you know, thankful for our husband, wife, and children. Though that's a blessing to have a husband, wife, and children. Parents and brothers and sisters. I think about recently I went out to Oregon, was with my family a little bit. You know, it was nice to be in a place that you just knew people loved you. That they accepted you and cared for you, and you didn't have to question that. There's a comfort there. And that's part of the blessing of family. Of someone that you don't have to, you know, sometimes people, you kind of wonder where someone's coming from. But when you know someone genuinely cares for you and they love you, you don't have to even expend mental energy in worrying about it. You can just be yourself and be loved. And that's the blessing what family is to be. That is really what God wants family to be. And we have something to give God thanks for this morning. I'd like us to begin over in the book of Habakkuk. And this isn't meant to put a cloud or a pall over anybody this morning, but I also want to acknowledge this, that while our country has set aside a time for Thanksgiving, the Bible teaches us to be thankful all the time. The scripture goes a step further when it says, in everything, give thanks. Now, I will say that gives me a little pause, and I have to think through some things before I just said, oh, thank the Lord for that. Because there are some things that bring some tears in life sometimes. And there are some things that bring some heartache. And Lord, how can I give thanks for that? But the thing about it is that the Lord has our best interest at heart. And that means that everything that touches our life, whether it be good or evil, that when it passes through God's hands, even if God didn't cause it, He allowed it. Which means He can turn it and He can work for our good. So then I can say thank you, Lord. Because I can see where you've blessed me in the battle. Or you blessed me in the trial. In the book of Habakkuk, beginning reading in the 3rd chapter and verse 17, the prophet said this, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Let's stop there for a moment. Do you know what Habakkuk is doing? He was looking out at circumstances. He was looking at situations. And he said the fig tree is not blossoming. In other words, there's not going to be any figs. He was looking around about him, and then he said, the labor of the olive shall fail in the field, shall yield no meat. Who is it that works in the field? You know, Habakkuk may have been out there toiling in the hot sun, and he looked out and he began to look around him at nature, and he said, you know, the trees aren't even blossoming. You know, it seemed like things are just drying up. And he looked on the field and thought, I've been working out in the field all season, and there's not going to be any crops. In other words, the efforts that you put forward when they come to naught, isn't that kind of discouraging? When you sacrifice and you give of yourself sometimes for years, and then you start looking around and saying, fruit's not there. What have I wasted my life with? What a waste it is. The fields aren't bearing. And then you look in the barn and cattle's not there. The thing that you had planned and anticipated that, you know, through the years that you build the herd up and you started looking around, the field's not bringing forth any fruit where I toiled and labored, and I look in the barns and the cattle aren't there. And you know, that sounds a little discouraging, doesn't it? But this was what he saw when he looked around about him. You know this morning that when we live life, there are going to be some hard things in life. And there are going to be some things that we wish would be different. I would that all of your barns be full this morning. I would that all of our labor, whether it be temporal or spiritual, I would that you see fruit from your labor. But the fact of the matter is, there have been people that have toiled for years, even in the gospel work, have toiled for years and not seen any fruit from it. And that's discouraging. The tendency would be, there's no fruit, I've been working with the cattle here, and they've all died and gone. Let's just fold up. You know what you want to do? The natural tendency is, when you look what Habakkuk looked at, you want to just go put your head under the covers. Have you ever felt that way? Say, this is Thanksgiving, Brother Michael. Have you ever felt that way? It's like you looked around, it's like, Lord, what's going on? You just want to get under the covers and hide your face. But Habakkuk didn't stop. He was looking around him. And he said, you know, things aren't really looking very good. But he went on and he said, yet. Yet, in spite of what I see, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Habakkuk, he spent his time looking around at the purposes of life maybe coming to naught. Some of the dreams and the plans that he had in life, he was disappointed with what he saw when he looked around about him. He had some heartaches and disappointments. And you know, in those times, the enemy can paint some bleak pictures. The enemy can come along when you look around at difficulties and physical afflictions and financial problems and people problems and church problems and work problems. And pretty soon you think, what's going on here? What am I going to do? And the enemy comes and he just makes it look as bad as he can. But yet Habakkuk, when he was finished looking around, he turned his eyes on himself. He began looking inward and he said, in spite of all this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. I will rejoice. You know, the word rejoice means to jump for joy. That's when the fields aren't barren, and it's when the fig tree isn't blossoming. He said, I'm going to jump for joy. How can we do that as a people this morning in some of the most difficult trials that we go through? How can we jump for joy? He went on to say, then I will rejoice in the Lord, he said. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I want to tell you what the word joy means. And I couldn't help but think about the song that was in children's meeting a couple of, last summer. The word joy means, by definition, it comes from the root word to turn or to circle. It means to spin around. The word joy means to spin around. The antithesis of joy, you ever heard the word when someone cringes in fear? You know, if you're fearful, you think of cringing back. Well, joy is the antithesis, just the opposite of that. In other words, I'm going to rejoice and I'm just going to spin around because I'm happy, because I'm rejoicing. That's what Habakkuk said. He repeated himself. He said, I look around and I see all these things. He said, yet I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. In other words, I'm not just going to be cowed down in my corner saying, Lord, I'm thankful. He said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to spin around. You feel like spinning this morning? Feel like getting up and just spinning? Say, Brother Michael, that wouldn't be appropriate. Do you know that we need to learn how to be able to get up in the middle of our trials, in the middle of the battles, and say, Lord, I will rejoice. It is a choice that we make. We can choose to keep our focus on the field that is not bringing forth fruit. We can choose to look on the barns, the where you have labored and you see no results. We can choose to focus on the things around us, or we can begin to look inward and say, Lord, I will rejoice because you are my God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. David said it this way over in Psalms 118 in the 24th verse. We sang this little chorus here a few minutes ago. He said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. What's the rest of it? I will rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. This is God's day today. Every single morning when you wake up, it's God's day. And I want to clue you into something else. You may acknowledge it's God's day, but you are God's creation. And you know, there, I remember a number of years ago, I had been reading and doing some history study and things like that, even church history and things, and I thought, you know, I kind of wish I would have been born in a different dispensation. And, you know, sometimes the devil can romanticize that. There were major issues and problems all through time, believe me. Just go read Corinthians and Revelation. But I will say this. God put us in this dispensation for a reason. So when you wake up in the morning, we woke up this morning, this is God's day, you are God's creation, and God wanted you in this time. And so David said, this is God's day, I'm God's creation, and so I'm going to choose to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in the day that God has given me. And I think about how David, you know the problems that David had? You read through the Psalms, and it seems like one time David just hardly couldn't lift his head up, and he had his enemies. Sometimes it was the Israelites, his own people. Sometimes it was his own family. Sometimes it was those that should have been a support, and they were against him. And he was running for his life. And then the next one you see, David saying, oh, I will praise the Lord. I think about, it's here, one of my favorite Psalms, one of them. I believe it's Psalms 2. Or Psalms 3, David was running for his life. And people were telling him, he said, there is no help from God. And he said, but David thought about it, and he said, he is the lifter up of my head. I will look to the Lord. And he said, I lay down and I went to sleep. In spite of looking like Habakkuk, in all the circumstances that look so dark, David said, God's the lifter up of my head. So I can lay down and rest knowing that God's going to take care. Do you know that's the answer this morning? To be able to rejoice and be glad and give God thanks in everything. It is a choice we make. I will. That has to do with the decision that you make in your heart and in your mind. So I have a question for you this morning. What are you going to choose to do? Will you choose to stop with the first verse I read of Habakkuk looking around at all the gloom and doom? Or will you begin to look inwardly in your spirit and say, Lord, I will be glad. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm just going to add that last one. I'm going to give thanks. How can we do that, folks? You know, just because we serve the Lord does not mean that we are going to be trial-free. It does not mean that the barns are going to be full. It does not mean that everybody's going to always do what they ought to do. But what it means is God is my salvation. That was the answer that David found, that Habakkuk found, and that I find in my life this morning. The answer to rejoicing and giving God thanks is, Lord, you are my Savior. And if God is your Savior this morning, you have cause to rejoice. We live in a world that is in trouble. We live in a world that is distressed. So how can we face life and be able to live with rejoicing? You know, spinning. That's what it means, to be joyful. How can we do that? We can do it when we have God as our Savior. Do you know, because there have been some trials and battles, and I believe all of you, I trust, can attest to this as well. Heavy burdens and trials going through them, and it's a little bit hard to find the place to give thanks in the middle of some of them. But yet, at the end of the day, or even during the day, you stop and think about it and think, Lord, you're my Savior, and you're my friend, and I'm ready to meet you, and I've maintained my integrity with God, and I'm doing what you want me to do. Do you know there is joy in that? In spite of everything else around us, when you can examine your life and be clear with God, by God's grace, we can face any trial that comes our way because God is my salvation. That's the choice the Lord wants us to make this morning. Over in the book of Lamentations, the prophet was speaking, and he began to, as well, look around like Habakkuk did at the bitterness and difficulties and the problems. And he came back down to the same thing. He said, therefore, this, he said, I will recall to my mind. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 19. He said, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith the Lord. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. What's the answer then to rejoicing, being glad and giving thanks? It is in looking inwardly and looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want You to be the King of my life. You are my Savior. You are my help. And I'm not going to give up hope because God is my hope. And you know, every morning the Lord's mercies will be new for you. Every morning God has a fresh measure of grace to give to you, that although you face burdens and have burdens, you can rejoice and you can be glad and you can give God thanks. That is a decision that the Lord wants us to make this morning. Looking forward with expectation, I want to encourage all of you this morning, in whatever battles you face, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Don't think that life is not worth the living. You know, I think it would be interesting to see a show of hands, and I'm not going to ask for it. I wouldn't do that to you. But I wonder this morning how many people right here in this congregation here have got to a place that you almost just felt like, you know, what's going on? This isn't part of it. Don't give up hope. When you look around at the fields and the empty barn and the fig trees not blossoming, folks, get your eyes on Jesus. Hope is not gone, but let the Lord be your hope and wait. Wait on the Lord, and He's going to come through for you. He's going to come through. I would like to conclude this morning in Psalms 107. Psalms 107, beginning with verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Moving on down to verse 8, he said, O that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Folks, that is our God this morning. How can we make it by ourselves? There have been times I've wondered, how do people make it without the Lord? Because see, they have problems and I've got problems. See? Serving the Lord doesn't exempt us from having problems. But the Lord promised to be with us. He promised to walk with us. He promised to hold our hand. Folks, the Lord won't let us down. I've been so thankful for the faithfulness of the friendship of Jesus Christ. And so then, do we have cause to give God thanks this morning? Do we have reason to rejoice? Do we have reason to be glad? I say if you know Jesus Christ this morning, you have great cause to be glad, for this is the day. In 2011, this is God's day, and I am His creation. And by the help of God, I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad, and I'm going to give God thanks for being my friend and being my Savior. May the Lord bless you. It's your decision this morning. Every day, it's your decision. I will. I'm going to make that decision. And in doing that, we can rise above the empty fields. We can rise above the empty barns. We can rise above the fig tree that's not blossoming. And we can rise above it because our eyes are on Jesus Christ. Amen.